This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard as we give you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Charlie, how are we doing this morning?
You know, I'm doing wonderful. It's a brisk day in Houston, Texas. It's going to be a great day for golf. Locally, nationally, it's a great tournament going on, respecting one of the greats, all-time greats, Arnold Palmer.
That's right. That's right. No, you know, we're coming off the 17th week of the PGA Tour season. You know, Chris Kirk was just an unbelievable story last week at the Honda Classic. We'll get to that today. But, Charlie, you're exactly right. You're talking about a legend in Arnold Palmer. He built this golf course, you know, bought the property, back in 1970 on a five-year lease. He played a charity golf event at Bay Hill and went home and told his wife, hey, I need that property. And since then, Charlie, not only has he made a stamp on professional golf with his PGA Tour event, but how about amateur golf with the Arnold Palmer Cup? I mean,
awesome. He's done he did it all. And still doing.
Still doing, even, you know, even after life. And not only do we have the Arnold Palmer going on this week, Charlie, we have the Puerto Rico Open, which we'll touch on just a hair. You know, it's at Grand Reserve, which, you know, held the Latin America Amateur Championship. How about a couple words on, you know, Grand Reserve and your thoughts on secondary events moving forward? You know, do you think they have a place in the game? I mean, the Open
Championship. Oh, yeah, we need them.
Yeah.
We need them. And we have secondary events. We have the
Barbasol as opposed to Open.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. So golf is growing. Golf is good. You know, there's two, you know, the critics aren't have no place in life.
No doubt, Charlie, no doubt. And this week, Commissioner Jay Monahan answered those questions that we had in regard to the format of the PGA Tour schedule starting in 2024. So we'll answer those questions, you know, regarding the 36-hole cuts moving forward. And what the calendar will look like starting in 2024. The players took questions on the matter all week. Charlie, at the end of the day, you know, Spieth, Xander Schauffele, you know, they're all, they were all for removing the cut in just 8 to 10 of these elevated events. It's not the full schedule, but this allows, you know, an easier sell to sponsors, and the working class fan will be able to get to the golf course on the weekend and watch their favorite players.
You know, we got to think back in history, and there's turmoil when you're growing. There's turmoil, you know, in the NFL when the American Football League wanted to get into their business. But look at it today. It's one of the biggest businesses in the world. People are making millions of dollars. The PGA Tour right now is having some growing pains. Some of it was, you know, forced by outside influences. But still, they have managed it, and they're working their way through. And the most important thing is the schedule and getting more professional golf to our fans. That's really important. And they will do it. They know the PGA Tour has grown to where it is, not because they're dumb. They're smart.
It's an ecosystem of ever-flowing talent, Charlie.
Exactly right.
You know, one person leaves and another comes along. And that's what we're seeing this year. You know, a lot of people, Charlie, had questions about the 2023 schedule and what that was going to look like, the first year of elevated events. And, I mean, look at some of these winners we've had. Rahm has won 3 times. Max Homa has won twice. Scotty Scheffler, you know, the exciting Texan, defended his title at the Waste Management and looks to do so again this week. You know, even on the run, the PGA Tour has put together an unbelievable product this year.
It really is. And the television and CBS and NBC, the Golf Channel, they get the word out. I mean, look at the NBA. The players now have the control, and they can pick their own teammates. Is that good for basketball? Before, you're drafted by a team, you sign with a team, you know, you live with the team. But now they can choose, you know, every 2 weeks, oh, no, I want out. Is that good?
The CBA, from what I've read, it sounds like the CBA is going to have a little bit of an issue with that this summer in the meeting. Some of the load management and all that's going to get rearranged. What have you seen about that, John? No, okay. I digress. That's the point, though.
Me too. I mean, but just an illustration that everybody goes through growing pains. And we, in our golfing career for professional golf, I think the PGA Tour is going to come out better for all of what's going on. The PGA Tour player is going to be better. So let's just give it a little patience.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. Kurt Kitayama leads the way at 9-under. It's his third 36-hole lead of the season. Charlie, this guy has had a lot of good chances to win, hasn't gotten the job done, had a chance to beat Xander at the Scottish Open last year, had a chance to beat Rory at the CJ Cup. Hasn't gotten it done. He arrives on another big stage this week at Bay Hill. So we'll see what Kurt Kitayama can do. Jordan Spieth, Charlie, two shots back. It's been a sporadic year. He held the first round lead at the Sony and then missed the cut. You know, the bigger problem last year was the ball striking. This year, the putting just hasn't been there. Charlie, he said that, you know, he spent time focusing on his full swing and some of the work on the putter fell on the wayside, and now he's just trying to find the balance. What have your thoughts been on Spieth this year?
He's a hardworking guy, and he's not as consistent as we like him. He has those times where he had a shot that yesterday it just didn't make any sense. The driver he was trying to hit a shot he'd never practiced before. I don't think that's smart. I think every shot you want to hit in competition, you better have practiced. And for example, Chichi Rodriguez, one of the incredible players of the history of golf. He had rickets when he was a kid. But what he would do, and I watched him do this, is in a practice session in the morning on the last day of the tournament, he had hit every shot in his mind and on the practice into the greens. And he knew what the yardage was going to be. He knew everything. And you get to 17, hard pin placement. It's not hard. I've already practiced that shot. Well, Jordan made a really big mistake yesterday trying to hit a ridiculous shot instead of just getting it in the fairway. And then the ruling has caused some, you know, people to say he cheated, and that just really makes me mad. Because if they know the rules, he did exactly everything with the rules official there. He did not cheat. The rules in golf, the rules in life, the Ten Commandments, are here to help us, not to hurt us.
Yeah, in case you missed it, you know, Spieth on 18, you know, duck hooked a drive left, said he was just trying to hit a head-high draw short of the water. Duck hooked it left. It was up against the fence. He had no swing from the right side, but his only swing was lefty. And because he was set up as a lefty, he was standing on the cart path. So he gets relief.
Exactly right. And with an out-of-bounds stake, or you don't get relief from that either. So he proceeded under the rules of lifting the ball away from that, you know, because he was on the cart path, and then he got on the other side. That's just the rules of golf.
He made a pretty good five there, Charlie.
He did. He really made four. The ball just hung on the lip, you know. So, but he was rolling the ball the best I'd ever seen him, I thought, yesterday.
So Kitayama leads the way at 9-under. Spieth two shots back at 7-under. World number six, Xander Schauffele, is in a tie for third. Charlie, he's making his second start at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Finished 24th back in 2020. And Xander's looking for his eighth PGA Tour win. You know, do you think this year is the time when he goes ahead and maybe steps it up in a major? Do you think he has the game to get it done in that setting?
He hasn't yet, and it's been a while. He's played. His game doesn't, you know, really come out on Sundays. So hopefully we'll you know, but the guy that scares me this weekend is Justin Thomas.
Ooh.
He had a hell of a run.
Sitting T5. Shot 67 yesterday.
With birdie, a bogey in 17 and 18. So, but, you know, Schauffele is an enigma. I mean, he's just a good player but he's not a winner.
You know, tied with Xander's Corey Connors, who, you know, historically has been a bad putter, seeming to find it out or figured out this week. Davis Thompson also in a tie for fifth with Patrick Cantlay and Justin Thomas, as you just mentioned. You know, JT, Charlie, he's a good putting week away. He was tinkering with the putter early on this season. Has the Futura X5 back in the bag. You know, what do you make of the – I know we've talked about tinkering a lot, Charlie. You said all good players do it. But, I mean, JT's won both of his majors with that mallet putter. Why would you ever go back to the blade?
The host of our tournament is Arnold Palmer. And I went to La Trobe, and I visited his museum. 10,000 clubs? Huh? He had a repair shop in his office so he could change the grips. He could some guys, change is easier. Blame it on the equipment, not on yourself. You keep your mind really, and he never changes his golf swing. So change equipment and all that, that helps.
You know, tied, you know, with in that bunch at 5 under, you have Davis Riley, you have Patrick Cantlay, you have Matthew Fitzpatrick, you have Justin Thomas. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick, the Open champion, we saw him in the Netflix a little bit. He hasn't done much since that U.S. Open win. Also in a tie for ninth is the amateur, number 3 amateur in the world out of Texas Tech, Ludwig Aberg. We'll talk about that on the other side and more right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, ESPN 97.5. Goodbye, and Sperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Charlie, how about a quick word from our friends over at Insperity?
You know, I'm powered by Insperity. Since 1986, I have seen miracles happen with a company that grew from nothing, zero, 4 guys. And now it's $6 billion in process. I mean, income. I mean, this company has grown because it's so good, because it knows how to take care of its customers. That is their philosophy. Paul Sarvadi and his wisdom, he knows how to treat people. He knows how to treat his employees. Last year, they gave 38,000 hours to our Houston community to help other people. And that is, they're using their resources the right direction, the right way. And if you're in a business and you want to grow your business, give Insperity a call. I guarantee you won't regret it, because Insperity is working to provide success for their customers, and then their communities will prosper, helping business succeed so communities can prosper. HR that makes a difference. Believe me, on behalf of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour and Will and myself, we love Insperity. Right, Will?
That's it. Helping businesses succeed so communities can prosper. That's Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Moving right along here on a Saturday morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Welcome aboard if you're just joining us. Charlie, 1970, Arnold Palmer took a 5-year lease on Bay Hill after falling in love with the course. After winning a charity golf event, he went home after his victory, told his wife, hey, I got to have it. The King was a dear friend of yours. Tell us what this property meant to Arnold Palmer.
Well, he liked to summer, and he goes up to his home in La Trobe, but the winter months, he came to Florida, just like everybody else. I mean, you 5 tour events in Florida, but he enjoyed it, and he Orlando has it's far enough north where there's a little winter, but he knew it was going to be successful. If Walt Disney was going to build their kingdom there, Arnold built his kingdom, And at first, the real estate didn't go that well, but he hung in there, and now he's produced a property with the lodge. You can go and stay there. It has 27 holes of golf. It's beautiful, and it's got one of the best professional tournaments on the tour.
An amateur, you know, and a great amateur event, as we talked about last segment. Charlie, we'll revisit the Arnold Palmer Invitational, go through that leaderboard, talk more about the King and some of his great lessons. But the PGA Tour announced Wednesday that changes would kick into gear starting in 2024. As far as the schedule is concerned, Commissioner Jay Monahan unveiled a revamped schedule that he said will transform and set the direction for the future of the PGA Tour. And we'll start with the most talked about change, which is the 8 to 10 elevated events, where the field size will be reduced between 70 and 80 players, with the 36-hole cut being eliminated, Charlie.
It's just that the old World Golf Championships. That's all it is. They're just being smart. They have to keep their product fresh. We got to get the best players in prime time on Sunday afternoon. I mean, that's the way to grow that business. And everybody wants to see the battle between Rahm and all of the stars. Rory, you know, has got to be in the mix. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Jordan Spieth. He's there. Justin Thomas. So, you know, and the players. Lenny Watkins always said, just play better. Play better. Get in the top 70. Get in the top, you know, work your ass off. We don't want anybody from 100 to 125. Really. I mean, I hate to say that, but you take.
Oh, look what Rory and our friend Pearson Cootie had to do yesterday to make the cut. That was exciting. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But to go to it is everybody has their opinions, and opinions are like, you know what.
Yeah.
So I like what they're doing. I like the elevated events. I like that the players are getting more money. I'm not going to say that they deserve it, but they work awful hard. They pay for their own expenses, so on and so forth. So let's help them, and they're so fan friendly.
No, they are, and what fans, you know. Like me, who enjoy, like you, Charlie, who enjoy the 36-hole cut, need to understand is that it's only being taken away from such a small percentage of tournaments on the schedule. You'll still see a full field in the cut at the halfway point of the Players at each of the four major championships in the FedEx Cup playoffs and regular season PGA Tour events. It's really these only 8 to 10, you know, marquee regular season events per year.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of taking away, you know, from cuts away from events like Bay Hill and Riviera, you know, it's so that sponsors and the working class sports fan can be guaranteed that they'll see the best players in the world on the weekend.
And it's easier to manage, you know, 90 players on the weekend and not 150.
Well, I think we've had Thursday and Fridays this year where weather's been perfect, and they've run out of daylight.
Yeah.
So the field sizes, especially on the West Coast swing, they need to be cut down. You know, and this was not agreed upon by anyone in the offices. This was agreed upon by the players. The top 20 players in the world agreed upon this. Jordan Spieth and Xander Schauffele both said this change was needed to assure fans that they would get exactly the product that they want.
What do you think of what they're doing in baseball? Getting the games down to 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah,
Is that pretty good? I mean, and they have their rules, they have their times, and they're getting penalized by a strike here or there. So they're adjusting really good. So we all have to adjust in life.
Yeah, baseball games are, you know, under, at least from what we're seeing in spring training, they're under 2 hours now, which is pretty incredible. Now, Charlie, some of the clowns at the Live Circus, they had a field day with this announcement. We heard from, you know, Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood. They reacted to the PGA Tour's announcement. And both Poulter and Westwood implied that the PGA Tour stole the model of Live Golf. Now, I know that's certainly not true, but let's hear your thoughts on that.
You know, critics. You know, everybody's criticizing it. You know, the PGA Tour is so far ahead of Live Golf, and the guys that took the money and ran – They have no, you know, they can set their opinion, but they're wrong.
You know, number one, the PGA Tour, as you said, has always had a few no-cut events thrown into the schedule. What about Kapalua this year? What about the CJ Cup? You know, what about World Golf Championships, as you alluded to? You know, number two, you know, you can still earn your way into these tour events, Charlie. I mean, you can play well in the regular. You can qualify for the PGA Tour via the Korn Ferry Tour event. The PGA Tour has, you know, a deal with, you know, the NCAA to, you know, allow for PGA Tour U to let college kids get an opportunity.
Wonderful idea. That's the breeding ground. It's just like the NFL has a college football schedule, and that's their source of players. And look how many players come into the league every year through the draft. Well, you can go on to university and play because you're not going to be ready to play the tour. And learn your craft. There's 200 universities today have great college programs for men and women, and it's inclusive. And you can see it. We have one amateur in the top 10 that is in the university program for the PGA Tour. So they've covered all their bases.
Yeah, they have. You can still qualify by playing well, and the LIV Golf model is a 40-man field by invitation only. That's the bottom line. It's as simple as that. I mean, if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you any better. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. And yes, of course, Ludvig Åberg, number three amateur in the world, is in ninth at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He's the third-ranked amateur out of Texas Tech from Sweden. Doesn't even get to play golf. In his home country for, 6 to 7 months a year.
Yep.
Pretty incredible. He's come over here and got the job done.
He's got desire.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Other Swedes on the PGA Tour. Charlie, David Lingmerth is a Swede. So good to see him in the mix. Let's see how much we got here at 26. We're not going to start on Chris Kirk in this segment. A lot to discuss there as the 37-year-old. Move to number six on the FedEx Cup standings last week. We have about a minute, Charlie. We'll get more into Kirk on the other side, but how good was it to see him win?
It was really great. And and here's a guy that was suffering from one of the dreaded social disease, alcoholism. And he got it. He got help. He turned his life around. He got his golf game back, and he won. So there's not a better story of this year than Kirk.
We'll talk more about it on the other side around the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Stick around.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, before we get rolling, I got to tell you about my friends over at the Swing Sound app, which you can find on the App Store and Google Play for just $4.99. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or too quick, especially under pressure, when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or a late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmotter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf and the founder of Sam Putt Lab, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm when they swing the club. Whether it's your driver, irons, or putting, good shots are a product of good rhythm. And, folks, ever since I got the Swing Sound app, it's eliminated my need for a coach or any outside instruction besides the golf doctor, of course. I put it on my speaker when I'm working on my putting. And I turn on my headphones when I'm warming up on the range. It's the Swing Sound app. Do yourself a favor. Take control of your golf performance to establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Kirk Kitayama in the lead by two shots at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Listen, this is a guy, if you haven't heard of him yet, he had a chance at the Scottish Open last year, finished second to Xander Schauffele. Had a chance at the CJ Cup earlier this year, lost to Rory McIlroy. Let's see if he can get it done on the weekend. Has some absolute dogs chasing him in Jordan Spieth, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Scottie Scheffler. But, Charlie, let's keep it rolling. Chris Kirk, 37-year-old, last week, snapped his winless streak. It had been 7 years since Chris Kirk had won the 2015 Colonial. I know you said a couple words before the break, but you know, this is a guy who has overcome a lot.
Well, you know, everybody on the PGA Tour is human, and they're just like the working guys, and the pressures get to them, and the travel, and so on and so forth. You're away from your families, and all of a sudden, you know, one drink can really ruin a career. And he has showed so much internal fortitude to say, okay, this is not going right. And he corrected his direction he was going. He was going for ruins, and he quit drinking. He practices trade. He's a great, great model of watching him play golf is really a delight. He's very smooth. He's very calm, cool, and collected. He doesn't get upset. He's trained his mind to accept, you know, bad things can happen to you. And alcoholism is a bad thing, but a bad shot doesn't, it's not anywhere close to what he's been through. So hats off. And there's been quite a few, you know, stories like that, not only on the PGA Tour, the NFL, the NBA, you know, kids. I mean, our kids today are so vulnerable to all the bad stuff in life. But it was a great story, and it was great seeing his wife and kids watch him win on the PGA Tour after what they've been through.
Yeah, great to see Chris Kirk back. I mean, another aspect of his game that struggled a lot, and maybe it was because of the horrible disease, but he overcame horrible stretches with the putter in 2020 and 2021. He really started to show flashes of greatness again at last year's PGA Championship, where he finished fifth. And you look at the last four events from Kirk before he won, he went third at the Sony, third at Palm Springs, missed the cut in Phoenix, and then won. So back at it again this week. He's tied for 20th. At the Arnold Palmer, Charlie. He started with a 67, was red hot, has had some good finishes here the last 2 years. But yesterday, Bay Hill was playing tough. Chris Kirk shot 75. A couple guys struggled. World number one, John Rahm, came in, was not happy, you know, with not happy how that 76 went.
That hurt his personality.
Yeah, it did.
You know,
I mean, a little F-bomb in the press conference.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But that shows you how quickly the golf game and the golf guys will turn on you. And all of a sudden, he made a double bogey on a par five. He thought he was invincible.
Yeah.
And they said, now, wait a minute here, John. You know, don't get too cocky. Stay humble. You know, you're not perfect in every way. And the bad shots come. And he showed his no class. And Arnold Palmer would have never done that in the press room.
No, never. Never. I was digging into Arnie's book, Charlie, and the last time that Arnold threw a club was at the 1946 West Pennsylvania Junior Final. He won the tournament. He chunked the club over the gallery. His dad said, if you ever do that again, you're not going to play. Yeah. Arnie never did it again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, lesson well learned. I had a few of those.
What was your – give me a – I was going to ask you for your best lesson from Arnie. Give me your best club-throwing story, that last time that you really lost your temper on the golf course. Did you ever have one of those moments?
Yeah. This is classic. The sixth hole in Villa Allende, where I grew up, there's a bunker left. I hit it in a bunker. And I didn't even have a sand wedge, but I hit it over the green. Okay. Now I get hot. So I go over there. I have my caddy. I throw my club, and it hits the pin, and it breaks in half. Okay, now what do I do? So I get my bag, and I'm mad, and I unzip the zipper, and my little shag bag was in there. So I picked that out and put it down and shoved the two pieces of the club in the bag so my dad wouldn't see it. And then I get another club, and I asked my caddy, where's my ball? He says, well, it's right down there with all those other balls. I had to disqualify myself because I didn't know which ball was mine. I learned my lesson real quick.
Now, how old were you for this, Charlie?
I was probably 15.
And after that, I mean, as far as temper goes, kind of the Arnold story where he he realized that that's not the perception that he wanted to be seen as.
Right,
that
right.
Was that kind of the feeling that kicked in for you?
Yeah. It sure did. And over the years after that, I fought my anger. I mean, I wasn't the best on the golf course, and until I started doing some work with some professional people, Dennis Waitley, the psychology of winning, and how your mind must work, and you can make it work any way you want it, and think positive and make everything, you know, not that important. And then I went on to be, I won quite a few tournaments, qualified for the Open because of great attitude.
Charlie, the last time that I threw a club, I mean really threw it out right. of anger, freshman in college, first year playing college golf. Up to this point, I've qualified for 13 events. So, you know, every season we're about halfway through the spring. And Las Colinas in Dallas is just giving me a run. I mean, I'm on the 15th, dogleg left, got to go over the water on your approach. I think I'm probably 7 over through 15 at this point. I wing it right on my approach on 16. I rear back and chunk my club forward. Double hops and hits my teammate in the leg and snaps in half. Coach comes up to me, Garrett Smith, we're still good friends to this day. He goes, get off the course. And I mean, my mouth dropped, Charlie. No tournament for me. He sat me for that tournament. It was at Southwestern. But, I mean, talk about a lesson. Could have been a whole lot worse. I mean, luckily it hit his legs. But, you know, that's my temper tantrum story.
Get off the course.
Charlie, you know, looking forward, Arnold Palmer Invitational, like we've said, you know, the King was a dear friend of yours. What would you say the best lesson that you learned from him was? If you could wrap your head around it. I know there's so many great ones.
You know, there's so many great things. Yeah. Over the years, you hear what the King has done and so on and so forth. His personality was larger than life. I had the good fortune of playing with him, and we were walking down the fairway talking about his health. He was just having prostate problems. And he's just as human being, as human as any of us. And although his fame and fortune grew to incredible heights, bottom line, he was just a good old boy. His dad taught him very well, like most. You know, we're so lucky to have mom and dads that teach us wrong and right. And what I learned from Arnold Palmer is just be a nice guy. And I try to do that. Every now and then I fail. But, yeah, just be a nice guy.
Best lesson from Arnie right there.
That's it.
Just be kind.
Yeah.
I like that. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. You know, Arnie and Tiger had a great relationship. They first met in 1991 at the U.S. Junior at Bay Hill, and didn't meet again until 1995 when Tiger was at Stanford. Arnie was at the Champions Tour event in Napa. Tiger, they had dinner, and it was an NCAA rules violation. Tiger had to send Arnie a $25 check for just going to dinner with a professional.
Yep.
Unbelievable. We'll talk more about that on the other side and give you some picks for the Arnold Palmer Invitational right on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sportsmap Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity, HR that makes difference. Back after this.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
5:45 past on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Kurt Kitayama leads the way at 9-under at the Arnold Palmer Invitational with Jordan Spieth 2 behind. You know, Spieth recently missed the cut at Riviera, finished 6th. And Phoenix hasn't putted the best this year. Needs to find that 2015 form. And before we continue rolling on the Arnold Palmer, Charlie, do you have a swing lesson for listeners today?
I have a swing lesson, And the topic of the book I have in my hand is See and Feel the Inside Move. What does that mean? It means a lot. And the first thing I use in my teaching is the visualization of what I want my student to do. Well, I have a book that you can get on Amazon. Michael Hebron, he was the master professional, PGA Teacher of the Year in 1991. I've gone to some clinics, and I keep going back to his philosophy about learning and playing. And so go online, go to Amazon, see for $12. This is really a good tip from me. See and feel the inside move and realize that the body motion makes the club move. Think about that. You got to move. It's just like a wheel on a car. It has an axle. The axle moves the wheel. The wheel moves because of the axle getting the energy from the engine. And the engine in the golf swing is the torso, is the trunk of the body, and that has to move. It has to, you know, I've had 25 hours of physical training in the last 3 months, and for somebody who's 78, I can start to move my hips again, and that's where I'm going to gain more distance. So the tip of the day, Amazon, Michael Hebron, see and feel the inside move. Do that, and I guarantee you, call us back in the future once you've read it and give me your opinion.
And Charlie, as far as the, you know, the physical conditioning of the game, you know, I've played with you a couple times here over the last 2 months, hitting it absolutely fantastic. But what a lot of people don't understand is you have to keep up that physical exercise in order for the swing to work correctly. You know?
Yes.
You know, what are some things that you've been doing, I mean, to keep loose, to keep the muscles moving correctly?
Well, I found a couple of professionals that know about the body and what we can do to loosen it up and to get the core moving. And over at the Houstonian Health Club, I have a lady by the name of Danae that has taught me a lot, and she's helped me through exercising, and she makes it hurt. But there's a saying, me duele, pero me gusta. It hurts, but I like it. And so it's a matter of getting in the gym as we age to try to maintain what we had when we were 60. I mean, I'm almost 80 years old, but I can move better than I did 4 months ago.
You're walking better than Tiger, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not – Tiger's walking around with a limp.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to the golf club today.
And speaking of Tiger, you know, with how well, obviously John Rahm got humbled yesterday, shot a couple over par, but with his good play, Charlie, a lot of jingle in the air comparing John Rahm to, you know, obviously the greatest golfer of all time in Tiger Woods. But, you know, this is only over the fact that, you know, he has had the hottest start to a season since Johnny Miller in 1975. However, only one major on the resume, Charlie.
Right. Only one. And if he wants to be, you know, get in with his countrymen, Siriano Ballesteros won 3 Masters and 3 British Opens. Alasabal won 2 majors. He won 2 Masters. So he, you know, Sergio Garcia won a lot around the world, and he won his major. John Rahm has the ability, because he's so strong and big, to win 6 or 7 majors. And so he's got to get it going.
I mean, that or, you know, get to somewhere near at least 9 PGA Tour wins this season. That's what Tiger did in 2000. That's what Vijay did in 2004.
Yeah.
But he took a long way to go.
This is a major. If he wants to be in the elite category, he's got to win 2 or 3, 4 majors.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. Charlie, we talked about the changes the PGA Tour is making. Very minor. You know, it's going to be 8 to 10 elevated events next year where they drop the cut and reduce the fields to 70 to 80 players. Another change that Rory McIlroy would like to see is that a couple of the European Tour events being elevated. Some of the bigger ones like Wentworth, like the Alfred Dunhill Links, like the Spaniard Open, maybe the Irish Open. What are your thoughts about that?
And that's all in the future of the game. I mean, we've always helped the European Tour, like you say. You know, I'd rather call it the European Tour, and they've helped with many different ways. But I think the European sponsors will get on board, and we'll get a couple classic, you know, help the big tournament in England, the BMW Championship, make that a big event, and so it's coming.
Now, you know, back to the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We talked about an amateur who's in the top 10, Ludvig Åberg. He's a senior at Texas Tech. He's number one on the PGA Tour U rankings. The last amateur, Charlie, to win a tour event, Phil Mickelson, 1991 in Arizona. You know, what would that to see an amateur do it this week? And once again, the last amateur to finish top 10 in a tour event was last year at the Travelers. But what would it mean to, you know, to have an amateur win one of these $20 million elevated events?
It would be incredible. If that happens, you know, my hat's off to him. Very few and far between at that level. But I think what the PGA Tour has done with the university program and giving them access to the tours and so on and so forth, I think that just goes, you know, it's such an intelligent move to do that. Now we have a good breeding ground for great champions to come out of college.
Our friend of the show, Pearson Cootie, took full advantage of that PGA Tour U rankings. Charlie, he's 3-under on his round through six in the third round. Opened with 74, looked on the outside of the cut, looking in, came back with a 71 yesterday. Now he's 3-under through six. You're seeing these younger players a lot more prepared, ready to go for the big stage.
You're exactly right. He came out of Texas, and they won the national championship, so he's got the pedigree, and he's off and running. I think it's so exciting.
When you're looking at this leaderboard going into this weekend, if someone needed one player that you thought, you know, was gonna get this done, going through this leaderboard, Kurt Kiyama's in first by two, but some of these other players down the leaderboard: Patrick Cantlay, world number four, is only four back. Matthew Fitzpatrick, world number 13, only four back. Justin Thomas is right there after a 67. In the second round. Adam Scott searching for his first top 20 of the year after a, you know, great end of last season, needs to find the putter. And then obviously Ludvig Åberg is five back at 4-under. So
Scott is Scheffler, defending championship. We got to give him some love.
Yeah, he's right there. You know, 4-under, 68, 72.
That's right. He is there for a reason, because he's really good, and he might turn the trick. I mean, can he shoot 65-65? I don't know, but
absolutely. Absolutely can.
He's fun to watch. Another thing, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, Keith Mitchell, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, Max Homa, all six back. That's not out of reach. Yeah. Only one behind Scheffler.
Pearson Cootie's tied for top 20 right now.
20th. 3-under through six on his round, third round. Pearson Cootie, friend of the show. In case you missed our interview with Pearson Cootie, you can find it on ESPN975.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Charlie, we haven't talked about this battle going on for world number one, which could change this week.
Right.
You know, if Scheffler wins and Rahm finishes worse than second, Scheffler will retake that number one position.
Yeah.
I think you bring up a great point. I'm taking Scotty Scheffler this weekend.
Yeah.
Five back. What do you think?
Well, you know, he's proven a winner, so he needs another win going into the Augusta.
10 seconds. Who's your pick for this week?
Justin Thomas.
We'll see you next week for the Players Weekend. Thanks, John Belmer, behind the ones and twos.